Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
No transfer knowledge. It's not Sports Unplugged. Because guess what? Mo Salah signed a new contract. So we can all breathe a big sigh of relief and we can all have a big, lovely chat. And you know it's important because the boss is on. So we've got to behave ourselves. And Kev's back. And Kev's back as well. So Luke, we can't get away with the shit we got away with last week. So all your chat about, you know, if you had to pick up which fruit would be your favourite weapon, you know, we can't talk about that now.
UFC can go fuck itself, basically, what you're saying.
But we have agreed, Gav, that if you're going to use a fruit as a weapon, a pineapple we reckon is the best choice. Spiking has got a bit of girth to it.
Are you throwing it or are you using it like in your hand as a weapon?
Just as a weapon. You can sell why you use it.
I love this shot, by the way. Fuck my salad.
we'll get to that.
You'd have to be quite precise with throwing for a pineapple. Although a pineapple in your hand is quite heavy, but it'd do some damage. I reckon an orange, but you just have the skin pierced in certain places. Because if you hit a fella with an orange, it's not going to do a lot. But if it squirts all over him in the eye, and it's not good. So probably an orange might be in my show.
Who expected this for Moe Salah chat? Right, Luke, seen Kevin Bandler's last week. What's up with you? How you feeling, mate?
Oh, but it's made the weekend already. Finished work, and then the announcement was made, and yeah, the saga is over. It's finally over. No more emojis. Agent putting the tweets out of laughing faces. So yeah, thank God that it's done. Because I could not have doubt next season. Every press conference, is he staying? Is he going? Has he signed a new deal? So I'm glad it's over.
What comes to that? Because one of the four of us went full 300 and really let us know what they thought of the emoji. But we'll come to Kevin in a minute. Gav, it must be important Friday night and you're here. So how are you feeling?
Yeah, I was looking forward to a really relaxed Friday night. And then this happened and I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to have to do something here. We're going to have to change the show tonight from Sports Unplugged to NTK. I'm probably going to have to deal with the thing. But listen, I'm delighted to be doing it. I'm absolutely delighted he signed the deal. We've spoken so much about him to the point where this channel has had to put a pin in it on a couple of occasions until something new came out. look, I said like from the beginning, if something goes wrong here, i.e. he doesn't sign a deal, we'll need to know the numbers. You just have to know the numbers if something goes wrong. I was getting very tetchy over it. And not Mo Salah or anything like that. I only said it last week. If he can't find the middle ground, he'll see it was contract. He'll honour a contract. And you can't say more than that if he can't find what he wants. And if the club can't find what they want, they're going to have to find a middle ground. It looks like they have. But, you know, I'm absolutely delighted with it. I was even getting down to the point where I thought, could they do something this summer where they actually, Mo Salah leaves the club? Because, look, take the 2 hours before he signs today on social media and look how much it was going on. Like, and I'm not just talking Liverpool fans on Twitter. I'm talking about fans of all clubs on Twitter when the agent put out that emoji today. And you'd multiply that by I don't know how many times going into the first league game of the season, first Champions League game of the season, when Liverpool lose a game, if Liverpool went out of a cup competition, and it would just go on and on and on for 9 months. And then, of course, you would have the World Cup in the middle where they wouldn't have anything to write about bar the World Cup, but you have to keep Liverpool on the map somewhere because Liverpool sells. So they just keep doing this stuff. So on kind of couple of levels, I'm absolutely delighted. But most of all, we're keeping, I think, one of our best ever players for three more seasons. You know, so it could be more than that, is it? It is.
Three more seasons.
Yeah. Which is absolutely phenomenal work. Absolutely phenomenal work. And no, I don't care about the numbers, Chris. I really don't give two fucks about the numbers. I've seen 350, I've seen 300. I don't fucking care. Because all that matters is that Jurgen Klopp has his tallies, man, right, for three more years. Liverpool Football Club and Mo Salah and his representatives have found a way and found a middle ground to make this deal happen. And like Luke said, he's bang on. It's over. The saga's over. And all we can do now is concentrate on going into another season with a really, really strong squad. A rejuvenated Jurgen Klopp with a new contract. Some new players. Some have gone. But overall, it's a brilliant day for the club.
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, look, cards on the table. I was pretty resigned to the fact that he's gone. And I'd text Kev saying, because I'd missed all this emoji stuff, because I saw some people, Trippers, outbursts on social media, which was like, oh, something's going on. Because I've muted his agent 6 months ago. Whereas if you mute him, you don't really get stressed by what he puts out. So I was quite relaxed. But Kev, we're looking now at a situation where if he continues the current trajectory he's getting, of getting on average 20 to 25 goals a season, he's, in 3 years' time, he was most likely going to be our fourth highest goal scorer in the club's history, which is overtaking Kenny, Owen, Fowler, Billy Little. You know, that's some legacy there. I mean, this is what people are hyping about. This is like, you know, all-time Liverpool 11 sort of player. This is the sort of level of player we're talking about. But before we get to that, Kev, let's go back about 5 hours. A little emoji came out.
Kev, get upset.
Basically, we have a WhatsApp group, which you're not in. You won't believe this. We do prep for the show. I know nobody believes it, but we have a bit of prep. And Kev sends a quite big essay of what he thought and how he was going to react to the show, which, I'll be honest, me and Luke were quite annoyed. I just sat back and went, Kev, go for half an hour here. So, Kev, how were you feeling when you saw the little emoji?
I lost it completely because I just thought to myself, exactly what Luke was saying. I can't listen to another year of this, of him chirping up every time something he thinks he has something to say. We had it last season with his emojis and with his cryptic tweets. And I just thought, we've had a decent summer. I'd resign myself to him going to PSG to replace Messi next season. And I was fine with that. Okay. He doesn't seem the kind of guy who would down tools. He'll honour his contract. He'll play well. He'll want to play well to get the best move possible. And it's like, here we go again. It's the 1st of July. Carvalho is meant to be unveiled today. He's becoming a Liverpool player today. What's he doing this for? And I just let rip in the chat. I said, fuck this anyway. Block him. Forget about him. Never want to fucking see anything to do with him again. He can take him. He can take his only client and they can get out. Gone. Forget about it. And then the club put out the tweet with the hand over the face, and that was me. I had the hand over the face. And, oh, my God. Whatever. I was delighted I didn't put it on Twitter because I'd have had to delete it. I don't like deleting tweets.
Well, but, plenty did put it on Twitter.
Yeah, I can imagine, but...
The flip of Liverpool fans on Twitter was brilliant, though, wasn't it? It was, sell him, I've had enough of this bollocks, gets rid of him.
Yeah, I was there because I just thought to myself, Chris,
here we go again.
Can you imagine next year, right, if Mould decided to run down his contract? It's not just the every press conference. It's the splits that it can create.
The media. It's the media as well.
Yeah, but it's the splits that it can create within a dressing room as well. If things aren't going bad, who's going to get the blame? The guy who's out the door, the big time Charlie. You know, I'm too good for you lot. And I just thought, this is a recipe for disaster. You know, we've already lost Sadio Mane. We're hoping that Darwin Nunes is everything that we hope he is. And by the way, your talisman, the guy who's been arguably the best right winger that's ever played for the club, wants to leave. And like Luke, you're dead right in what you said. That's done, you know. And the yardstick now you got to look at.
He'll be 33. Preseason starts as well, which I think is massive.
That's the beauty. I mean, he'll be 33 when this contract is up. And you look at what Karim Benzema is doing at Real Madrid at his age. You look at what Frank Ribery and Arjen Robben did in the latter end of their career. At 33, Mo Salah has still got a big move left in him if he wants to go down that route. By then, we'll have had 8 years out of him.
Or a big extension. Out of one.
Or an extension.
We'll have this all again in 18 months' time.
We don't know. But as it stands now, you know, cock-a-hoop, over the moon, delighted he's staying. But, you know, it's topped off a really good summer. If the summer closed tomorrow now, I mean, the 1st of July is the 1st of January. It's New Year's Day for footballers because that's when contracts end on the 30th of June. And the 1st of July is the start of the new contract year for footballers. So it's New Year's Day. And it's probably no coincidence that they announced this deal when the new year of a contract is due to start. You know, on the first of on the first day of a new contract year for footballers. Maybe that's what the whole wait was, that he would stay on his previous contract until today and then go again from the 1st of July. But the way they announced it, the way they handled the media of it, because all you could see was the CGI of Mo scrolling through Twitter. The few lads that we all follow on there
are now
Insta celebrities on social media because of it.
Yeah. Well, the bit that got me, I was about to mess you after your rant, which to be honest was really funny, proper cheered up my work day. And then I saw it was Neil Jones tweeted the eyes emoji. I thought, it's a Mickey take. And it was just a 4 second thing for Liverpool's just of a Liverpool shirt by a pool. Yeah. I was about to mess you going, that's an odd response. And then literally within a minute, it was signed, 3-year deal. Fucking hell. And then Gav, the instant flip of a Liverpool fans, which was selling to, his agent's all right, isn't he now? You know, cracking. He's done now. We're all well happy now. So let's move on to the thing.
The funny thing is about it, though, like with the agent, like the agent most definitely does something in, was it January or February when he...
Big stuff to Fabrizio, yeah.
Yeah, and you knew what was being leaked to certain journalists and stuff like that to put out there, and it was kind of like, what the fuck is he at? That definitely happened. But I think a vast majority of people kind of went, I'm not interacting with him anymore. You know, because a lot of people in their own head would go, he's looking for a reaction here. And if you're strong enough willed, you just go, you're not getting that reaction. So I don't think he got... I'd say he got a reaction. I didn't read anything off the back.
He definitely got a reaction of Jamie Carragher.
Yeah, no, he does. And he gets that reaction. Whereas I kind of looked at him and went, he's off again. Fuck that, you know, and off we go. And, you know, but then it kind of all started to fall into place, like you said. And you see Liverpool do that tweet with the short first, I think. Is it the short first and then the emoji? Or the emoji with the short? I can't even remember.
It's a shirt by the pool.
Yeah. And then you're kind of going, wow, well, really, what's going on here? And I even tweeted, I hope to God this is where I think it is. I forgot the D in God, so it just looked like I hope to go instead of I hope to God. But listen, most people wouldn't know what I was talking about. And then I think it was Sean, he texted me. I think he was in work and he just said, what's going on? And I went, I think he signed, Sean. I think it's done here. And then literally within about 3 minutes, I was sending him another link to another tweet going, yeah, it's 100% done. And you know what? Listen, everyone gets emotional. Everyone gets fucked this and fucked that.
If it was any other player, we wouldn't give a shit. It's the fact that it's Mo and we know how important he is. That's why we care so much. That's why this one, I mean, Genie was a good player and he did really well for the club, but he decided to leave and we're like, okay, fair enough. We got Thiago. Grand. Replacing a guy who bangs in 20 plus goals a season, every season, nailed on 100%, as sure as the stop clock is right twice a day, Mo Salah is scoring 20 plus goals. That is
especially losing Mane only a couple of weeks ago as well. So he'd already lost one. Yeah. He'd already lost the first sort of big signing of Klopp because he wanted a new challenge. But Chris,
you'll see the negative now because Salah signed the deal, right? And I've already seen stuff like, well, who else is going to go in and look for a similar deal now? And I'm kind of going, well, nobody, because he signed them all to deal. So don't worry about that. And then you've seen people going, if you spent that money on Mo, you won't buy a midfielder. Nobody has a fucking clue what's going on with midfield. Nobody has a clue what's going on in that club, full stop. Right? Because there's no way Liverpool rocked up into Greece, is it? He's in. Liverpool rocked into Greece this morning and said, we have a new contract for you, and he signed it today. It doesn't happen because that guy, Remy or whatever his name is his advisor or his agent, whatever they call him, right? They would have to go to somebody and have that contract looked through, considered. And that contract's done a week, 10 days minimum, because that would have to be given to them for them to look over, go through. Yeah, we'd sign it. And Liverpool happened to turn up in Greece today to do videos, reveal the contract, get pictures taken of the I don't think anyone knows what's going on in that club. So when it comes down to midfielders, I don't think anyone knows. And listen, that's not a bad thing. I remember Liverpool in the late 80s, early 90s, right? And social media wasn't around, media wasn't as prevalent, you know, and as in getting instant stuff and getting rumours about stuff and stuff like that, you know. And Liverpool just used to do their business and they just turn up with a player at Anfield. They literally turn up at a press conference but going, here's a new player. And Liverpool I think Liverpool are so tight at the minute on giving out information that we don't know what's going on in midfield. You're seeing negatives about they couldn't give Mane the money but Salah wanted, they're giving it to Salah, and you're kind of going, hold on. There's a guy that represents Mane last week saying he wasn't on 100 grand a week. He was on way more than that, right? And Mane himself comes out and says, I wanted something different. You know? Listen.
At the end of the day, Chris,
take each of them on their own merit. Mo Salah signed a new deal for Liverpool today that will keep him at the club till 2025, which means I think we're getting somewhere between 75 and 100 goals out of him in the next 3 years. That's my opinion. Great. Listen, if a midfielder comes along in the next 4 or 5 weeks or 8 weeks or whatever's left in the window, fine. But we just need to take each of them on their merits. It's actually getting ridiculous. And that's where the whole Remy stuff today, and Kev is probably the biggest culprit of it all. Like, he should be ashamed of himself for his carry on today.
Thoroughly.
But look, thoroughly at the end of the day, Liverpool know what they're doing. Now, you can argue over, do they spend enough? Do they do this? Do they do that? But they know what they're doing. And they've shown it again today. Because Mo Salah left Egypt and went to Greece, I don't know how many days ago, but I'd say he landed in Greece knowing his Liverpool contract is absolutely sorted. They didn't rock up at his front door this morning and show him the contract, and he said, okay. Just doesn't happen.
No, I agree. I mean, the other thing, Kev, we were to talk about, and Luke, is it also takes a bit of pressure off the club. Because, listen, to be fair to Julian Ward, fair play to him. You know, he's brought in the most expensive striker we've ever bought. He's signed up probably one of the biggest names in club's history to a new contract. You know, talk about baptism of fire for a new sporting director. So fair play to. But we were, I think me and Gav did a show early in the week. We were going like, well, you are looking at Liverpool going, you need at least one, maybe two midfielders. You might need to replace Firmino. You definitely have to replace Milner. And you probably have to replace Salah. You're going, that's quite a busy 2023, that. And there aren't loads of right wingers where I'm going, oh, yeah, he's a shoe and he'd be well good. So
yeah,
it does give us a bit of breathing room, doesn't it, Luke? Because then we're sort of going, well, the right's really set and really so. We'd like a backup just because, you know, you've got to rest the guy. You've got to rest the fella at some point. But it does take a bit of pressure off there. And you'd like to think that also helps attract more players because, you know, you've got 3 years of Mo Salah to play with. It's an attractive proposition.
Yeah, I think if Salah would have been moved on, you're probably looking around the market thinking who's really going to take the mantle, with it being Rafinha, Bowen, Antony, all good players, but to put the pressure on them straight away to come in and go, right, we need you to score 20 goals. It would have been difficult for any of them to come in, but the fact he's signed, that's done. And you can get a younger player to come in, hopefully, that they will grow into the role, less pressure on them. And then when Salah does eventually go, he'll just slot in and take over his man, take over his position.
Yeah. In a way, Kev, outside looking in, it's kind of, is this almost like perfect squad evolution for the front three? Which is, this is not because I've got any sort of insider knowledge, cause I barely have any knowledge, to be fair. But we sort of said, when we looked at the front three, said, the ideal for the club is probably sign one, sell one, and let one run the contract down. And then, to be honest, you're kind of okay there. Look, being a fan, we'd like to sign all three, but being realistic, that's where you want to be. So we are now going, well, Firmino's got at least a year left, which gives Carvalho and Nunes a bit of time and Jota a bit more time to be the middleman. You know, gives Diaz another year to just sort of settle in without, you know, the break glass of one of the big boys. And you've still got one of your talisman to kind of go, well, you've still got Mo Salah as your guaranteed 20 to 30 goal a year attacker, which is always a big pressure to take off yourself.
It is. I mean, the thing is, you got to look at it. There's many ways to look at this. Salah did really well working with the big man when he was at Roma. You know, the partnership that he developed with Edin Dzeko took Roma from an also-ranked club to into the Champions League and deep into it. You know, they had a really good link up. Salah's delivery from wide is very underrated. And that's something that he'll bring to their game as well. The fact that he's staying takes pressure off next year. You know, next year we're going to have to, it'll be 5 years since we've made a serious addition to central midfield by then. You know, Thiago came in to replace Genie, but it wasn't exactly big money and it wasn't a player that you look at it and you think you're going to build a side around him. You know, it's been a long time
I think Thiago is a serious addition.
Yeah, but it was 20 million over 5 years. It wasn't a big investment.
But money doesn't really matter. But I do agree with you in the fact that a serious addition, as in major forward planning, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's where you look at next year. If you had to do that next summer, as well as add a replacement for Mo Salah and a replacement, potentially a replacement for Bobby, that suddenly becomes a very, very expensive window. And there's no dressing that up. That's just the reality of it. We've already spent the bones of nearly 100 million this summer, you know. And it would have made next summer really, really, really difficult. The fact that he's now staying for the next 3 years plus means that you can really concentrate next year on a midfielder, and you already naturally have two midfielders leaving by default next summer anyway, in Ox and James Milner when their contracts expire. So there's naturally going to be two spots opening up in midfield that you can go all guns blazing on in 2023 if we don't do anything between now and then. So, I mean, the squad is in really good shape at the minute. If the window was to close now, I'd be happy enough. I'd be like, look, that's an 8.5, 9 out of 10 window for me as it stands now. You know, ideally one more would be lovely, but, you know, tying Salah down when I'd be honest. I'd say anyone I've spoken to have all pretty much said the same thing. Yeah, he's going to run his contract and he's going to go. You know, I'd resign myself to that. And I know a fair few people had resigned themselves to that. So the fact that the club stuck with it and the club have moved and he's had to move from the demands that he was putting out there in the media comparing to what's out in the media at the moment. There's nothing. I mean, Mo Chatra put out something there tonight and he said, with the bonuses and everything, you're talking Mo Salah is going to be earning the bonus of $500,000 a week and with a $350,000 a week basic.
I think he actually earns less than he would have earned in 19-20.
Oh.
Genuinely. Because I think what happened in 2019 and 2020 with Champions League and a league winning season is he was on a base rate with extortionate bonuses. Mm-hmm. And Mo Chatra, I think, is the one that kind of brought that up. Mo Chatra and Swiss Ramble have brought that up in the summer of 2020 and the summer of 2021 about the bonuses that they were paying. And the talk immediately after was that new contracts being offered, which was the summer of 2021 to the likes of Trent, Fabinho, Alisson, Van Dijk, wherever it might be, was that they would commit more money up front, but the bonuses wouldn't be as extortionate. So they actually have the ability to earn probably less money than they did 2 years ago if they won Champions League and leagues. But players want to know what they're earning each week.
Yeah.
So if Salah was earning 450 grand, you know, or 500 grand after bonuses, because it was mad money they were giving out in 2019 and 20, he's probably getting 50, 60, 70 grand more a week now. But he won't be able to earn up to 500,000.
Yeah.
He probably earned the extras from the bonuses. So if we go and be really successful like we have been, and people will go, well, how have you been really successful? Get a fucking grip. We've won the European Cup of League. We've won, you know, 6 trophies in the last 4 years or whatever it is. We'd actually probably end up paying out less, if you get me. Because the bonus, the way it's being pulled back, we're committing more up front. But if we actually fulfill our potential as a squad, we'd probably be giving them probably a bit less. And that's absolutely fine. You know, the sort of way. It still pushes players on that want that extra few quid, and that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of talk of, you know, what would some of the players think, because obviously Mo's earning so much. There is talk, and I can't remember which Jones, I think it might be Neil Jones, someone will correct me the chat if I'm wrong, probably Laura Duffy in a minute, is
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The talk is the club, like Klopp, spoke to the leadership group, which we know is Henderson, Milner, Van Dijk, and Trent. I think Robson's in it as well. And I think the discussion was, how would you feel, conversation, how would you feel if Mo's earning a significant amount more than you? Is there an issue? Just to see gauge squad harmony, you know, that's also where things. But Luke, thinking about it though, with Mo staying, we all know what he's brilliant at. You know, he's one of the best wide forwards probably going. What's it do for the squad in terms of a Harvey Elliott, a Cade Gordon? Is you've got 3 years against Mo Salah in training. You've got 3 years to learn under Mo Salah. Is there much more of a learning tree that you need than just watching Mo? I mean, the story is Mo Salah last summer was bollocking Harvey Elliott,
too much bread.
Too much bread. Said you won't last like me if you keep eating bread like that.
If it was crisp sandwiches, like, I don't know, like Mo hasn't got a leg to stand on.
Well, yeah, I think it's just a dry bread roll. So I think
slap him around the head. As far as I'm concerned, it's a dry bread roll. Sorry, Luke.
Yeah, given the Milner slap as well. I think with the youngsters, having Salah around, like, he's like the ultimate professional. Like, look at the way he looks after himself. Apart from his agent, you don't really see him causing a fuss in the headlines. You don't see him partying, headlines about him getting drunk in Vegas and stuff like that. So He's the consummate professional of how to act on and off the pitch. And I think it's vital for Elliot, Gordon, even Jones, and even some of the younger lads that are going to be coming up. So I think it's crucial that he's around.
Yeah, I agree. So, Kev, the best thing I've seen on social media, which is always good fun to delve into social media, is just delve into Man United Twitter and every now and then Arsenal Twitter.
Good boy.
Oh, do you know what? The absolute U-turns and flips I've seen, from laughing at us not keeping a player to there is genuine concern and panic now. Oh, shit. There's 3 more years of him. Because I think there was that feeling of Liverpool might go away for a little bit if they haven't got a Mo Salah. You can feel the fear now of quite a few clubs going, oh, shit, that's not what we need. Because the one thing you want this summer is consistency with how crammed the league's going to be.
Yeah. It was bad enough for other clubs that Klopp signed his extension. Now, the fact that we've added a Darwin Nunes, Diaz is going to get a pre-season, and by the way, Mo's going to terrorise you for another 3 years. The idea that we're going to that this rebuild hasn't been planned meticulously is gone. Is gone out the window. And I'm guilty as anyone else of not buying into it, is trust the process. And I said earlier, trust the process. And today I was like, oh, for fuck's sake.
But I hate then, that phrase.
You know, you've got to do it. You have to trust the process. It's like they would have known. Klopp said before the Champions League, didn't he? Everyone knows. Everyone with 12 months. What's sorry. This? Partying and getting drunk in Vegas, Luke. Can you just...
Yeah, so like basically, Luke has said something there about partying and getting drunk in Vegas. Luke, you can just say it's like acting like Jack Grealish. By the way, nothing wrong with what Jack Grealish
No, does. Absolutely
by the,
not.
By the way, just to be clear, only because I've seen it on her social media, I think Leanne Rowe was in Vegas, and she obviously Andy Robson's there. Andy Robson looks fucking ruined. Andy Robson knows out of a drink. He looks fucking wrecked.
Look, let's be honest. Like,
fair play to him.
Who goes to Vegas and walks around drinking fucking green tea and taking pictures? You don't. You absolutely go on the latch.
There's a good reason why a lot of these lads go to America, is because they can just blend in and disappear because they're not.
Yeah.
Known. You know, there's not many places that these players can disappear in the world. America is probably the one, but maybe not Vegas. But it's like, I lost where I was now.
Oh, well. You were ranting about the agent. I think you're up to that bit.
No, I'm over that now. I'm over that. He can... hopefully, he might get another client or two. One thing I will say about the agent, right? Football agents work for their clients. Okay? They don't work for the club. They don't work for fans. Now, he can be the biggest prick under the face of the earth, but he's Mo Salah's prick. And Mo Salah...
is happy with that.
Yeah, because everything that he did was on his say-so. And don't kid yourself, we don't know Mo Salah from Adam. He might be the greediest bastard on the planet. We have no fucking clue. But the agent that represents the player, people can't come out after the fact and say, oh, but Mo's not like that. Mo wouldn't do that. You don't know. At the end of the day, he's still Mo Salah's agent, and he still does what he does. And
whether we like
he's only
it or
got
not,
one client, so God willing, we won't hear from him again for another good while. I'd be
Look,
delighted with that.
Whether you like it or not,
he got a great deal for his client.
His client's on a great deal, and I'm a bit like Gav. I don't really give a shit what he's on. He's staying for 3 years.
But that's the thing. Like, if that deal doesn't get signed, I've said it loads of times. If that deal doesn't get signed, and Liverpool come out, or it comes out in next June, that Liverpool offered him 350 grand a week with the potential to earn 450, just say. You can genuinely turn around and go, what more did he want the club to do? In my opinion, right? Because you were speaking there about the leadership group and, you know, what would he think of this? Listen, they've all signed deals, right? And they're signing deals knowing that Mo Salah's the last one to come in and Mo Salah's getting more than him. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
The guy has, get his stats up. I think he's like fucking 200 goal involvements in about 80 games. You know, it's fucking ridiculous, right? But
But he's ninth in the all-time goal scorers.
Which is ridiculous.
So that's what you're going to get, right? We know that that's going to happen. And you were talking there about what does it mean for Kay Gordon? What does it mean for Harvey Elliott? What does it mean for Naby Keita, who's looking and saying, Jesus, will I sign a new deal? Fucking Mo Salah staying. You know what I mean? There could be other players sitting there going, I'm not signing a deal. If Salah stays, I might stay because like, we're absolutely mustard.
Yeah.
If he goes, though, could this be the start of an evolution where other players might get the chop? So what's the deal for Naby Keita? What's the deal for Roberto Firmino, who says, I'm at the losing one of me mates. If my other mate goes, no disrespect to Darwin Nunes, Luis Diaz, Diogo Jota, but if my other mate goes, or in a year's time, my other mate, if I commit to 3 years now and my other mate goes in 12 months, I'm the last one left. You know, what's the deal for Roberto Firmino? When it comes to fans of other clubs, we've kind of lashed ourselves here tonight over reactions we've had over agents, emojis, signing the deal, not signing the deal. I've tried to be as level-headed as I can about it, and it was all about finding the numbers if it didn't happen. I just wanted it to happen, you know, the sort of way, and it has, and I'm absolutely delighted. But when you look at other clubs, like, the hope in them is that Liverpool take their eye off the ball. And I think the chance of Liverpool taking their eye off the ball is minimal. And that's what's hurting other clubs. Like, we're sitting here, right? And Ten Hag knows that he's getting the United job 2 months before the season ends. Somewhere around that, probably. And he's still sitting here without a sign. Now, he might sign 3 or 4.
But to be fair, Gav, he did have them training at 9 a.m.
Well, he did have them at 9 a.m, which was revolutionary, right?
I had to do the passing drill.
It looks like he's... Whipped them into shape because they're passing and moving, which is mental for a footballer. But he's sitting there without signing. Now, they might do Frankie de Jong, who doesn't look like he wants to go leave Barcelona, which is sound, right? And they might do this fullback, and they might do this centre-back, and they might, right? But it's all kind of, will this work? Will it work? Oh, I don't know. Like, Spurs fans never gave Richarlison a second fucking thought up until about fucking 4 days ago. And now they're like, oh, he's so good. He's so classy in what he said to Everton today. He's not classy. He couldn't even fucking spell. He didn't even get someone to spell check the fucking thing before he put out the tweet. And I mean, they're all going on like Richarlison is the second coming of Jesus, right?
Eight goals and six assists.
But that's how things flip so quick. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But when people look at Liverpool, listen, let me give you one bit of advice. If people are constantly talking about Liverpool are doing something right. Yeah. Okay? All right? And that's all that matters. And, you know, Diaz, I think, has been brilliant since he came in. Nunes, you know, United were 40 welcoming videos for Nunes before he signed for Liverpool. So don't be minding what United fans tell you. Right? Salah signed a new deal. And we might bring one in, but... Behind it all, fans of other clubs are probably looking, going, these are not taking the eye off the ball. These are as strong, if not stronger, than last season. And the potential on July the 4th, we're 8 weeks, is it? Until the window closes.
Yeah, give or take. Was the 1st of September the window closes.
Yeah, to manoeuvre themselves, to make themselves even stronger. So, it's all good. It's absolutely all good. And you know what? Salah's signing that deal as well, and he's looking, going, I like Nunes. You know, because Salah's not signing a deal unless, a bit like where Klopp was signing a deal, Chris, where he was saying, I need the backing. Right? I think he's being backed all right, okay? But I need the backing for this. This is my plan. I've 4 years left. This is my plan. That's fine. Salah's signing the same deal, saying to himself, well, who are we bringing in? What is the plan? Klopp is telling him the plan. The club are telling him the plan. So,
because that was the leak, wasn't it? That Salah, well, he did say it wasn't about money, but it was also, what are we bringing in? Yeah. So it could also be the waiting game of, oh, we're going to bring this and that in. Well, I'll see what you do first.
Yeah.
Do it first. He's seen what's coming, but he's also
going to know what's coming in the future, right? Mm. Or what he planned to do in the future. So not only Salah signing a deal is really good for him, which financially it really is good for him, I think it's the best place for him. Because when you look around suitors around Europe, I'm not too sure what the suitors are and what position they're in. And actually how... not viable the project will be, I'd say, PSG, but how kind of meaningful is it, I suppose, is probably the word that's better. And not only that, he's getting a really good deal, but there's no doubt he's not signing that deal without going, they're planning on this, this, and this. Do you know what I mean? And it's another It's another recommendation from another massive player for Liverpool Football Club, what's happened today. That's probably the biggest thing to come over, really.
It'll help when you're going to target other players, for sure. Yeah. You know, if Liverpool are serious and say they want to attract a Jude Bellingham, it's a feather in your cap going into those negotiations that, by the way, X, Y, Z players have already committed and they're going to be here as long as you're here. And
the spine signed, PSG, isn't it?
Sorry?
The spine signed. If you look at
it, exactly.
The spine is guaranteed for the next 3 years.
You look at other clubs around the league at the minute, or competitors at the minute. Spurs are rebuilding, but they've spent really what they need. They scraped into the top four with what they had.
Yeah.
And they're going to be playing in the Champions League an extra minimum. I reckon they're good enough at the minute to get into the last 16, last eight. So they're going to be playing a lot of extra games, and the players they've signed will be, you know, they're signing players to maintain the top four challenge. Mm-hmm. Man City are losing, arguably. I mean, people call Sterling a tap-in merchant left, right, and centre, but Pep has gone to him an awful lot over the years.
City's second time all-time scorer, I think.
Yeah, and wow, he's looking to get out the door. Mahrez is looking to get out the door.
You got Bernardo. I think Mahrez is going to be staying. I think he's going to get a new deal with City.
There was talk that Mahrez and Sterling and Jesus would all go.
And you're looking at Bernardo Silva as well. I mean, how much of a rebuild are Man City looking at? And what?
Yeah, but Bernardo Silva is linked with Barcelona, who are still trying to do a Rafinha deal while telling Lewandowski to just chill out in Munich until we find someone else to fuck out of the club.
Well, like, Bayern have started off their stadium rebranding today. The deal kicked in today with Spotify. Now, the Barca. Thing is with this, yeah, they've
sorry, re- you they, said
they've, Barca, sorry, yeah, they've rebranded the stadium today. So, and the thing Spotify is with La Liga, with the way La Liga works, you have to prove that you have the funds in place in the bank ready to go before you can do anything. And there's a microscope in La Liga. The way La Liga have turned things around in the last few years to how they financially manage the clubs over there now is to be applauded, to be fair. The way they've turned around to Barcelona and basically cut them off, because, you know, they are a huge club. They're a juggernaut of a club, really. And they've turned around to Barcelona and said, look, give us your credit card, we're chopping it up, and you have to come to us now to prove that you've got the funds before you're allowed to do anything, which should have happened years ago, you know, but at least now, when they make a move, they are able to show that they have the funds to do it. So I can understand why they're turning around to Lewandowski to say, look, we have to wait until the money's in place with this sponsorship deal. They've sold the TV rights deal to another company.
49% they've sold 49% of their merchandise deal. And apparently, it's not for a couple 10% of years,
of their media deals as well.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, you know,
in weddings as well.
Yeah, and they're
doing cracking,
all sorts of stuff. But a couple of things are coming out of that as well. Like, and this is why I spoke about the suitors for Salah, because I don't think Barca is one, and I don't think Madrid are one.
No.
PSG is probably one, but I think it's a madhouse. When you're basically telling Kylian Mbappe he can run the show, it's fucking mad. But I don't know if City lose all those players, because where they stand now, they've brought in Julian Alvarez, they've brought in
Haaland and Calvin Phillips.
They
brought in another keeper today as well.
They brought in a keeper, yeah, but that's much of a much, right? But Fernandinho has gone, they brought in Calvin Phillips. That's just a swap, right? They've lost Jesus and they brought in Haaland, okay? And then the talk was they would lose one more attacker and Alvarez would be there. So I think Sterling might go. I think Mahrez will stay. So it's a like-for-like swap. I can't see Bernardo Silva going as well. Right, yeah. Even with Barcelona, like you says, they're 180 million cash injection today due to Spotify and selling rights and stuff like that. But the big thing to come over for me today was we've dodged a massive bullet on Rafinha. Because I think he's a really good player. But Rafinha, if you see how solid these talks or this kind of rumours were around him, and listen, I'm going off probably one or two journalists that would talk about him. Oh, Newcastle have entered and had talks with him. Arsenal are looking to put a deal in place. Chelsea done Arsenal and he's just waiting on Barcelona. What happens? The timing is right. Barcelona get their injection, and Rafinha will more than likely go there. And I actually dread to think that Rafinha would have turned up at Liverpool now, because if we talk so much about our due diligence, how we plan the makeup of the squad, how they're so tight, how you have a leadership group that can, you know, talk confidently on the feeling of the rest of the squad, to drop someone in like that, as good a player as he is, I think could have been, not disastrous, that's a bit strong, but
destabilizing.
I think it could have been a really negative effect on things when you have a player that is being touted around possibly three Premier League clubs. Even if you don't include Liverpool, who he was being linked with last summer, and now he's just sitting waiting for Barcelona to come in. So he had no real intention of going to any of those. And if he did, he had his eyes on Barcelona the minute he walked into Stamford Bridge or the Emirates or St. James' United Park.
Which is the problem United could have with De Jong, which is the talk is he doesn't really want to go, but I think he's being told he's going.
But he might be able to stay now because of this cash injection. Because the thing is, they could bring in Rafinha, they could bring in Lewandowski, they could let one or two go, and they'd be absolutely fine.
By all accounts, there's Clement Longley could be going on to Spurs.
Yeah.
He's on huge wages. So that in itself can help Chelsea out massively. You know, Chelsea have to address their problems at the back.
Mm.
They want to commit to signing Sterling. That's not going to be cheap.
Mm.
They've lost their arse on Lukaku.
Yeah.
By FFP standards, you know, on paper.
But at the same time, Kev, the owners have to, after coming in and showing so much enthusiasm to get that club, they're going to have to do something because Lukaku's not there. You know, Christensen's not there. I think Azpilicueta has got a year on a deal now, but wants out.
Rudiger's gone.
Alonso wants out. Rudiger. So they have to do something. Do you know the sort of way? Not only to back their manager, but to appease their fans that, you know, that they've come in and they have to do something.
Maintain a push for top four because, in fairness, I think Chelsea were a better side. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket science. Chelsea are a better side without Lukaku in it. You know, Kai Havertz is a top tier player. But you can't lose that many defenders at one go and expect to maintain the standards that Tuchel is going to need to maintain to not just push City and Liverpool, but to maintain the position that they're in at the moment. And to be honest, we need, as Liverpool fans, we need a strong league to be able to challenge the likes of Man City and us to try to take points off the likes of City. Because
that was the problem. The last few seasons,
the amount of sides who roll over is just way too many, you know. And that's one thing with the 5-sub rule that people overlook. It's going to be working really well for us. We'll be able to bed players in and give minutes to players and that. But if you get, say, a West Ham come to Anfield and they can get a 1-0 lead, there's nothing stopping them bringing on three defenders and then putting on two attackers later in the game to take you on the counter. You know, there's many ways this 5-sub thing can work out tactically for smaller sides that they think they're disadvantaged by at the minute. But if sides can get themselves into positions in game, they can manage their way through 90 minutes a lot easier with five options rather than three. And it gives those sides so many different ways to change a game if they can stay in it long enough and get ahead. You know, it's just... Chris, next season is going to be fascinating in so many ways.
Can I ask you a question, Chris?
Go on, then.
Because it's Friday, we can do what we like. How much, you know, we've seen Spurs do good business, and I think Kev's spot on Spurs.
Mm.
I think the squad they had last season, despite Arsenal's collapse, and only having one game a week, Spurs just about made it over the line. I think they're a better side than Arsenal, right? And they're having a good window. Bissouma is a good signing. I think Richarlison is a bit...
He's a good signing, but he's expensive.
He's expensive. I think expensive, he could do option. Well there, but I don't know if his temperament will be up for you're playing behind Harry Kane every week, right? Because Son, Kane and Kulusevski, for me, is a really good front three, right? You look at Chelsea, and there's a lot of uncertainty there. You look at City, and it's a like-for-like changes, but it's still, is Calvin Phillips as good as Fernandinho? Is Haaland is fucking outrageous? But how will Alvarez settle in Europe? Stuff like that. How much do you think the signing or the renewal of Mo Salah will make these clubs kind of sit up and take even more attention again? And go and probably push themselves back into the market that little bit more.
I think it will. I don't know about City, but I think the rest it will, because the lot of I sort of thought from the outside looking in, I think a lot of opposition fans, not just on social media, friends of mine, felt Liverpool would be dragged more into a top four battle because there'd be too much of a distraction of playing the final year's contract, which we've seen with many clubs. It's a right ball ache. Even with a genie one, it's a ball ache. I think my thought was always going into this season with how it's split and how condensed the first half is. Sides with the least amount of disruption will do better because they can just concentrate. They don't have to worry about bedding a lad in for 6-7 weeks. And we've got to bed Nunes in. But if Nunes doesn't hit the ground, we have got Jota to play number 9. And he's done that. He did that brilliantly up until about February of this year. So... I actually think it helps us, gives that bit of continuity, and it's one less distraction that we have to worry about. Whereas I think other clubs, it's going to be a distraction at some point, which is going to be, well, how's your new signing doing? Oh, is it because your new players haven't bedded in Chelsea? Why did you concede? That's where it is, because you've got a brand new back four. There's lots of ifs and unknowns with them. With Liverpool, the only real unknown is we don't know how well Nunes will settle in. We've got an idea, but we don't know. But we know the rest. We know the rest of the squad is pretty settled. And City, to a large extent, are similar. And they've got a couple of question marks, not too many.
I just think, you know, there might be clubs out there that were planning and saying, we can do this, we can do this. And, you know, we mightn't be up there with Liverpool and City. But if they lose Salah in 12 months, we're in a good position where we've bedded in, like you said, like players for a year. And then we look to push on where Liverpool are kind of scrambling a bit for what to do with Mo Salah. I just think it might have a big effect on them. I think Chelsea are the biggest losers of all of this.
I think they're close to a top four battle than a title battle.
Correct.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. I think, and I said this a couple of weeks ago, I think Spurs looked at it and went, okay, we scraped top four. We're getting 150 million thrown onto the squad, because he openly said it. They were investing in the first team squad. That's what they said. And, you know, they kind of probably had to hold off during COVID, because they were probably the biggest losers during COVID because of the new stadium and the events they want to have at it. I've seen something
NFL.
Today. Like
NFL and concerts and all sorts.
Yeah, there's all sorts of gear going on. And that's what that stadium was built for. It's extra income. And I think Spurs are looking at it, like I said a couple of weeks ago, to solidify top four and pull away from Arsenal and United if they can, but also to target Chelsea and even target us and City, because you never know if they get a good run and they get a bit of momentum, and you never know what can happen. But I think Chelsea might be the big losers in all this, and I think how they finished last season, I don't think that manager is on the most solid ground, and that's not me saying it because I despise him, right? But I'm just saying it because of the way they were playing last season and the way he was going on a little bit. I think they might be in trouble.
He loves falling out of a player or two as well. He's got that in him.
Well, the talk is that he was at PSG, he trained them within the inch of their lives, and he just had enough of them. And listen, I'm not listening to you anymore. You're fucking annoying me. You know, sort of way. But when you see like Azpilicueta, I think it's huge if Azpilicueta leaves that club, because he must be at Chelsea.
He's
10
such a
years.
Leader, isn't he?
Must be at Chelsea 10 yeah. years.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah.
He's a bit like their version of James Milner. He's that leader that they need.
yeah,
and that character. And it's, you know, lots of, and the other big problem Chelsea have got for me is that one of their most key players can't stay fit in N'Golo Kante. Because when he's fit, Chelsea are a different animal. And that, I think, is what's cost them a lot as well, is they can't keep him fit.
Mm.
And look, that's just fact of life, and that's age, and, you know, it catches up with everyone eventually. But Luke, you're listening carefully. So Steve, Red Steve wants to know, when's the F1 chat? Which, unfortunately, Kev was going to make me do fucking F1 chat, which, as you can imagine, I was fucking delirious over doing this conversation about F1 because I love F1. But then Mo Salah happened. So what do you think happened to the F1 chat?
It just vanished.
A bit like IP vanished. There you go, Gav. You have to get used to these really bad puns. There you go. We do this every Friday when you're not watching. So,
and there's me only editing the start and the end of the show. I should really listen to the whole lot.
Yeah, you should listen to the whole lot. It's just for the really bad puns. Luke's now on the 2-for-2 now with bad puns. Well done, Luke. So just so you know, guys, IP vanish basically keeps you secure when you're online, keeps all your data 100% encrypted. That's your password, your communications, your browsing history. And you don't have to sacrifice any speed, and it's unlimited on devices, whether that's computers, tablets, or phones. These guys are rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot, and the offer for you guys is 70% off your yearly plan with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so you're basically getting 9 months for free. Details are in the description below. The address is ipvanish.com/daytrippers.
There we go. Very well done.
Yeah, see?
Hugely impressed.
You have to bring that to the Sunday show now.
Not only that, when I think about how you've done that and then how Keith manages with the IP managed stuff, like, it's night and day. You know, Keith just absolutely just decides that his brain does not work. Veranda Cheese, of course, will have to cover his ears because he hates the IP vanish stuff. But then again, Veranda Cheese is disgusted at the fact that Mo Salah has signed a new deal at Liverpool. He feels the club have backed down and shouldn't have done it. So there you go. But Veranda Cheese is absolutely mental. So there you go.
And to be fair, Red Steve hates these puns every week, which makes me want to do it even more, to be honest.
Yeah, but Red Steve, like, he hasn't really had a go at me tonight, so I'll let him off. I've offered to go for a pint run, but I don't even know who he is, so he could be really weird. But listen, I've drank with loads of really weird people. So it doesn't matter.
Me included.
You included. And your father.
Yeah, but he was all right.
But your father's not weird. He's actually a really nice man.
Unlike me. Completely different.
No, you're a really nice man, too. There you go.
So Kev was so disgusted with the IP vanish, he walked off screen. That's how much he thought about.
Yeah, he's gone to the other camp.
My dog decided that he wanted to go outside and look. Mm. In fairness, I just don't plan on doing anything after the pod that I need to involve some mop and stuff. So yeah, it's best.
Fair enough.
When he goes to the door, I jump.
Yeah,
cool. It's easier that way.
So Luke, rest of the summer, we've now got Mo Salah sorted. What you wanted, Red Steve, just
call me up. Yeah. Red Steve says Gav is a prick. Fact. Again, never met the man. But
I like him.
He's probably, yeah, he's fairly close.
Sure, it's not your missus next door. No.
She'd say it to me face. She's fucking way braver than Red Steve.
Fair show.
Scott, Luke, while we're talking about Gav being a prick, what do you think?
It's amazing.
Are you content? Would you like one more? Wasn't meant to do a little bit of transfer chat. It is the time of year, you know, so, and it gets everyone excited.
I think I want one more, just to be a bit greedy. Ideally, I'd like a midfielder.
Jude Bellingham.
Just get in.
Well, not even Jude Bellingham, because I don't believe that he's like the be-all and end-all, but I do feel like that we do need the midfielder who is in the between 23 and 26 age bracket, because the other midfielders are either in their 30s or in their early 20s. There's no one in the prime of their career or going into the prime of their career. And Naby Keita's too injury prone, and Ox could be leaving, could be staying. So one more that's going to consistently play all season would be ideal.
Yeah, I mean, you say Naby Keita is injury prone. I would say before this season, I would say yes. But this season, to be fair to him, apart from pulling a hamstring kick in the ground, which is still the most bizarre.
Barella is getting so many shouts as well.
Yeah, loads of Barella. I mean, Klopp likes him, which gets everyone excited. I mean, Klopp likes a lot of players as well, so let's not get too excited. My thoughts, I'll see what Gav's is, based on the run-in last season, we basically played 3 out of 4. It was Keita, Henderson, Thiago, Fab. It was basically them four were the main guys, and the other lads were just a bit peripheral and they were used for sort of like in between games. If you had a fifth one, it'd be like 3 from 5. Does that sort of sort you out? And then you just literally use Milner, Elliott and Jones for experience, you know, the right moments, like your bottom 10 sides, and that, then you can always keep rotating a very solid midfield or a very inventive midfield for the big games in Champions League and against the top 6.
Yeah, so first of all, I need to react to some of this stuff in the chat, right?
Because I can't list some of this, God.
First
of all, Matt, Red Seals reckon we need a telethon to take him down. Incorrect. I'll take you down in 4 to 5 seconds. Let me see. Dan Austin wants to know if any of my neighbours have the first name Red or family name Steve. No. Laszlo wants to get in on this gap slagging. You walk away, bro. No problem at all, Laszlo. I'm a big boy. I can take it. But Red doesn't matter what Red Steve says. He still won't come for a point with me. Don't know where he's from. Don't know what he does, but he continuously changes his name. That must be his way of getting around the IP stuff. Just if he believes if he changes his name, they can't track him. But I don't think that's how it works. Laszlo says Gav's short game is shit. Well, you're only telling the truth there, like, for fuck's sake. You need to up your game, Laszlo. But no, I love yous all. These are all fucking sound, in fairness. What was the question? Oh, midfielder.
We had like 5 to rotate into 3 positions, and then you use Milner, Elliott and Jones as playing against the bottom 10, not all at the same time, but, you know, to dip them in or play them when they're in a bit of form and you can rip them out when you need to. Mm. So just because Henderson, for me, while I think he actually had an all right season, I thought he played too much, but he had to play too much because we didn't have enough options.
Mm-hmm. R. Allison says I'm a grade A wanker. I know where he's coming from with that. I got called that on Twitter a couple of weeks ago. It was great crack. But Zupdog says, don't worry, Red Steve. I'm convinced Gav is about 4 foot. I'm 5 foot 5. So there you go. Knock all the rumours out of your head. Ami agent doesn't put emojis on the internet. So there you go.
So is Verratti. So
there you go. Messi's not too much taller than me as well. And I'm probably better than him if I put a bit of effort in. midfield, though. But the funny thing is, right, I know what you're saying about the 4 and being used and stuff like that, but I think it's a big season for Curtis Jones. I think his last season was probably a bit of a perfect. Let me see. Bet you Gav is swinging his legs under the table. No. Gav shite at Warzone. Correct.
It's the swinging legs that got me.
Stephen Hand says, I nearly got blocked for torching trees. No, you didn't get blocked for that. We thought that was funny, Stephen. Was it you, Stephen Hand, that said that? Maybe it was, yeah. But anyway, listen, keep going. It's all good. But Curtis Jones probably had the most important season of his career last season. Because I think he fell off a bit of a cliff and he had to learn, and he had to learn the hard way, I think, last season. And you've seen him kind of coming back a little bit towards the back end of last season, which is good for him. I think his trajectory has been really on the up for the last 2 or 3 years, and he kind of got halted. And that might be the kick that Curtis Jones needs, right? Harvey Elliott had a horrific injury. He comes back, and I think they've worked him really, really well. Same with Joe Gomez, but as an 18-year-old, I think they've worked him really, really well. So I understand the 4 thing. I get it. Milner probably plays more appearances than you think last season.
39 appearances.
Yeah, 39 out of 63, mate. So the thing is, like,
not many starts. Though.
But he's not there to start a load of games. That's what I mean. The thing, you know, and
I'm talking about starting.
Really. Yeah, and you know, you see Milner. You see, I can see. This is why I keep going back to the numbers again on midfield, because we have 8 midfielders. We've 8 of them.
Yeah.
You know, and there's only going to be 3 spots max. And I understand there's places in the squad where you go, he won't start an awful lot, but Curtis Jones is going to want to push on. Harvey Elliott is going to want to push on. And as I said before, in my opinion, we only bring in a midfielder if one of them leaves. I.e., you sell Kate because he won't sign a deal, or you sell Oxlade-Chamberlain because he wants a move and he's a year left. Or Jones or Elliott. Deal to loan, right? And it is a possibility. You never know, but I don't think you'll see a midfielder come in. If we were to sign a midfielder, I'm all on board with Jude
Bellingham.
Yeah, I am, because I keep going back to what Keith keeps telling me, and he's like, Gav, if we get the next season as we stand, we would lose Naby Keita, we would lose James Milner, we would lose Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain. And if you want to go into a season with eight midfielders, you then have to sign three. Just to be on par with your numbers from this season. So, but I'd love to see them do Jude Bellingham. I like Barella. But I don't. I'd nearly go as far as say it doesn't happen. I think they might let Ox run that down, that deal, unless he pushes for a move. But if not, if today hasn't taught you anything about Liverpool know what they're doing, nothing kind of will. Yeah. I'm going to read a lot of these because
Sean P. Casey's comment's quite good for you. Gil.
Let me see. I have to find
it. I like the idea of last January when we brought in Diaz, having that extra option in the front three.
It just relieved a bit of pressure, didn't it?
It did, and it was
fucking great. Fucking hell, I'm getting lashed here.
It's brilliant.
Go on.
It's
absolutely brilliant. I'm okay, though.
Yeah. I like the idea of having that extra forward.
Half price at cinema.
Well, Sean P. Casey can go fuck himself.
what did he say?
Laszlo's up this game. I'm only messing. Tom Boland's trying to get on my better side, but yeah, you might do. Let me see. Or Allison, that's a cracker from R. Allison. In fairness, Red Steve says Gav gets in the cinema for half price. I don't really go, so there you go. Let me see. And Peter Jones having a right go in there as well. I'll be having a word with him after this. Go on.
Peter Jones, nobody from Argentina has ever played.
Yeah. That's the fucking nerve to turn up here less than a week after that debacle.
And I thought he was bad, and I am bad.
Didn't you win?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, he didn't.
Keith anyway, had that sewn up.
Come on, let's get going. I need to go and edit this and play Warzone.
priorities. Well, you're going absolutely on Warzone. I'm going to have a go at FIFA tonight. I'd love another chocolate forward. Genuinely, I would love us to sign either a project forward or just an option. Whether Diaz is realistically the only option that we have on the left. Joss is okay out there. Salah is the only option that we have on the right. You're struggling for a backup for him.
Doesn't Carvalho also cover the left? Doesn't that cut?
I don't think he does.
I think that's where he'll end up.
Yeah, I think that's where they'll try and
shoehorn him in, but I don't think that's his position. He's more of a second striker, a 10, someone who plays centrally. I think eventually he'll develop into being an attacking number 8. I think 2-3 years down the line, he's going to be a number 8. But it's going to take him a while to develop physically to get there. But I would almost sacrifice a midfielder to get another forward in. Because I think goals win games, and I think midfield we're actually okay. If you look at the numbers, you can only play three. Every which way you dress it up, you can only play three, and you're going to make two subs.
Unless you're Pep, because he'll play six if he was given.
Yeah, but he's just an odd bollocks.
Well, Scott, you
play midfield as a centre back, so that's technically around eight.
Yeah. He'd love to play a full 11 of midfielders. I'm sure that's his game at some point. That's just what he wants to do. Yeah, that's an interesting one, isn't it? Bringing another forward in and then really push the goals. I mean, let's be honest.
Any particular name, Kev?
It'd be fun, though, wouldn't it?
No, and that's the thing. No, there isn't.
Would you take Gnabry from Bayern?
Oh, Christ, yeah. But you're not going to say...
The issue with him is
he plays on the right. He likes to play
He plays across the front line. Plays on the left, down the middle.
Sonny Kang is saying, Kev might win a quiz if Bracky organised it as they have all the wrong answers. It's very true. It is very true. Gav still never forgiven me for that, to be fair. He's still fuming over that.
Yeah, in fairness, you're going down in infamy for that one.
Oh, I think it's one of my greatest moments. I don't want to leave it on the pod. It's brilliant. Keep smoking out with me over it.
I think, look, forget about everything else. today is just one of those marquee January 1st that you're going to... Mo Salah is definitely one of those players that we don't... The football in general, won't appreciate Mo Salah until he's retired. And you can look back through the history of the game. There are players like that that don't get appreciated while they play. And he's definitely in that bracket that when he's gone, you'll realise just how good he is. Because the notion that Salah is still compared to the likes of Arjen Robben and Frank Ribery, he's levels above all of them. You know, he's the best African player to ever play in the Premier League. And people still talk about Didier Drogba. And go away. You know, Salah's head and shoulders away from all of those players. But it won't be until he retires that he's fully appreciated for just how good he is. He's a phenomenal footballer. And he believes in the project that we're doing. He's bought into what the club... Because the club will have told him what they plan for the next few years. So...
Sorry, I'm sure it's a really good point you make. I just can't cope with these comments at the moment. Gav's gone to make his...
They're on fire tonight.
They're absolutely fine. Names are being noted, though. It's okay.
Yeah. I'm getting this.
I'll tell you what. Friday night is normally mellow. We chat about all kinds of crap.
Yeah, I know. They've kind of got themselves in an awful tizzy here. Keith just texted me there to say, don't worry, I'm taking all these names. So when Keith takes names, you're in trouble. And listen, if he passes the one to Shani, you're fucked. Let's be honest about it.
Yeah, true.
Is that Keith from the internet? That Keith? I think he's referring to himself.
Is that what he's referring to himself as now?
He wasn't doing that on a bridge once, guys. So you'd be looking at me.
Oh, Keith. Keith from the internet. Yeah.
From the internet.
Yeah. So there you go.
Paul Giovanni's like, I am broken now. I've enjoyed this. This last 10 minutes has been brilliant.
Yeah. So there you go.
There we go.
So what are the plans for the weekend, lads? I mean, there's no football on, so what? You watching the golf, the Irish Open?
Yeah, I watched some golf. I have to do the back garden. Need to do some work in the back garden, and that's about it. Nice and chill this weekend. Cause
anyone up in the morning watching the rugby?
No.
Ireland against the All Blacks.
In the morning watching UFC.
Are the Ireland playing the All Blacks tomorrow?
Ireland playing the All Blacks in the morning.
Didn't they play their second team during the week and got their arse handed to them?
Well, that was our second team as well, to be fair.
Right, okay.
England are playing Australia next. I think there's five games on tomorrow. You got Ireland against New Zealand. You got England against the All Blacks. You got Wales against South Africa. Four games. Yeah, you got Scotland against Argentina in the evening. And then you've got... Joyce against Hammer, heavyweight, tomorrow night. And you've got UFC 276, a monster card. But the All-Ireland semi-finals this weekend as well with the hurling.
What's going on now?
Nothing. Just get to the end of the fucking show, will you?
There's fuck loads. There is absolutely shed loads of sport on this weekend outside of football. So keep
All-Ireland hurling semi-finals as well. The weekend, apparently, says O'Shane.
Ava the Third's asking me, am I interested in the women's Euros? I'm actually going on Wednesday, the opening game, England against Austria. And I've got tickets for the final.
Is that Old
Trafford? Old Trafford, yeah. It's the only game at Old Trafford. So, you know, thank God for that.
That's probably the only negative is going to Old Trafford.
That is the only negative, to be fair, yeah. And then I've actually got tickets for the final. I actually don't care who's in the final. So it's just a chance to take my little one to a European final because you don't get to see many of them. So.
British Grand Prix.
Yeah.
That's just going round in circles. That's rubbish.
I like the race, and I think. Do you know what it is, right? It just seems like they've kind of evened things up a little bit. Now I know, Red Bull are flying, but I've watched it for the last year or so on Kev's recommendation, and genuinely, loads happens in races now. Whereas when you went back 10 years ago, be like, oh, he's in front, is he? That's over. Fuck it. It's over. Yeah. Seems loads like happen.
I am going to watch what's the documentary when you told me about, guys? Is it Drive?
And watch that. Like, and it doesn't matter. No, listen, come here. Honestly, genuinely, Chris, it doesn't matter that it's about Formula One. Just to see what goes on. The human interest side. Fucking mental.
See, I like stuff like that, so I think that'll be good. Oh, yeah, the other thing is. Good. 4th of August, that's the date in your diary as well, Gav.
Yeah.
Amazon Prime. Arsenal.
Yes.
Oh no, I'm not watching that.
Oh come on. No. That would be it'd be like watching The Office with David Brent. He just knows disaster's coming.
On the 4th of August, I think I'll invite all the people in the chat for a pint. And I'll have all these comments printed out on a page, and I want to see who would stand beside all those comments, which has been an absolute disgrace tonight, to be honest with you.
And,
I don't know why I bother anymore. I think I might just knock her on the head tonight and be done with it.
Yeah, bet you back something.
They've hurt me an awful lot here tonight for no reason whatsoever. Red Steve is the fucking ringleader. Laszlo closely second, or Allison, I see you.
Spanners are up for the chop, lads.
Yeah, so there you go.
Awesome. Right, Chris, so on so on that happy note, Mo Salah staying for 3 more years. Mm. We're all happy, and everyone's taking the mickey out of Gav. Mm. Basically, what more can you want for a Friday night? Enjoy. Yeah. We'll see you all very soon. Sports Social Podcast Network.